Hi, everybody. As most of you know, I am the chairperson for SPPRC. As Methodists, we know our pastors are called annually, maybe to a church, to the church they're currently serving, or to a new church. And on rare occasions, pastors can be called mid-year. With that being said, it is with heartfelt sadness that Pastor Terry, Annetta, and Lindy will be moving to their new church. Pastor Terry's last Sunday with us is actually next Sunday. His last day here at the church will be November 15th. The SPPRC committee will meet with our new minister this week, so we'll be announcing who that is very soon. We're going to miss you guys. And I do know that this is something that happens with Methodist churches, and we have to, you know, accept it in a sense, and doesn't mean it's not hard and it's not sad. We will have a fond farewell potluck November 9th at 5 p.m. here at the church, and hopefully some of those extra desserts, maybe we can use those that evening too. Drinks and tableware will be provided. Please bring a covered dish of any kind or a dessert. We will be passing out flyers and about the potluck. Please come join us and let us celebrate his time here with us and bidding them a fond farewell. Thank you.
I'd like to welcome everybody to Alpha United Methodist Church. There's a little song, a little story goes behind that song there, I'll Fly Away. We were at an Alan Jackson concert back in the 80s. My wife and I and my brother Mike and his wife. And Alan Jackson was standing on the stage and he was singing this song. And this lady jumps up in the middle of the area we were sitting in. And she kept waving her arms above her hands and go, "Get it, Alan, get it, get it." My brother went, "Hey, sit down, shut up." This poor lady lost everything she possibly could at that moment. She was there having a good time and a great song, and then she had to sit there and be quiet. Today, you guys got some real bad news. I got some bad news 8 days ago. 8 days ago, I received a phone call and said, "We've had a pastor pass away down in Southern Illinois, a lady by the name of Alice True, sweetest lady you've ever met." The United Methodist Church, when things happen, folks, when they have to move a pastor, they have to move three of us at the same time. That way they can cover what's happening. With Alice passing away, that means four moves. We have churches in our conference that have no pastors at all. So we're having to shuffle things around. When you answer your phone and it's the bishop on the other end, you have to say yes, or you don't know what to do. I would love to tell you where I'm going, but I'm not allowed to tell you where I'm going. We just found out 8 days ago. And it has been very hard for us to keep this information from any of you who have come to the house, and I have to have you stand outside because there's moving boxes everywhere. Because there's churches this morning are finding out that their pastors are leaving also. So today we all need to be together. As United Methodists, we are a connective system where we're all joined together one way or another. Pastors come and go. Ministry continues to happen. There's a lot of ministry that's happening here. Psalm 96 says this, folks. And I'm going to read to you from verses 1 through 6. And it says, "Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord. Bless his name. Share the news of his saving work every single day. Declare God's glory among the nations. Declare his wondrous works among all people. Because the Lord is great and is worthy of praise. He is awesome beyond all other gods. Because of all the gods of the nations are just idols. But it is the Lord who created heaven. Greatness and grandeur are in front of him. Strength and beauty are in his sanctuary." There's one thing I want to point out from that right there. This is not my sanctuary. It is not your sanctuary. We are lucky enough to be the pastor and the congregation that come to his house, his sanctuary, his ministries, his programs. We're just the tools that he's used throughout that time. If you would, please join me in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we've gathered in your house today, Lord, we're here to celebrate you, Lord. We're here to praise your name. We're here to rejoice in everything that you've done in our lives, Lord. Lord, we know right now that there's some happy times going on in this room, and there's some sad, sad times happening in this room today, Father. But Father God, we know that you have a plan. You have divine wisdom far beyond what we could ever see that's going to happen in our community. Lord, I ask you to join us in worship today, to lead our thoughts, to guide us throughout this worship so that it is pleasing to you. In your Son's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.
Our scripture reading this morning is from the book of Isaiah, chapter 43, verses 18 and 19. And this comes from the Common English Bible. Don't remember the prior things. Don't ponder ancient history. Look, I'm doing a new thing. Now it sprouts up. Don't you recognize it? I'm making a way in the desert, paths in the wilderness.
In my lifetime, I have experienced lots of change. Today is one of those examples. How many of you this morning celebrated that extra hour of sleep? How many of you, like me, woke up at 4:15 because you thought it was 5:15? How many times have we really chased that coveted hour? Many of you talked all week long about, you know, I'm going to get an extra hour of sleep today. An extra hour of sleep on Sunday. I'm going to have an extra hour of sleep. Kurt, he's up here yawning already because Kurt, well, he got oversleep. Think about that. The hour that we chase so much that we magically think we can put that 25th hour back in the day. Have you ever tried that? Putting the 25th hour back in the day? The people of Israel, they really tried that. They tried to change the clock. They tried to change everything to make it fit for them. They tried to reschedule their day so it would fit to them. They lived in captivity, but they still thought they were in charge. They thought they could change things. We can't change things. When was the last time anybody did any real serious changing? Anybody? Has the church done any real serious changing in the last 40 years? How many of you remember that screen always being there? Luke, you got your hand up. It's because it's probably been there your entire life. Kay, has that screen always been there? It hasn't been there, Kay. It's something that's changed in the church. We've watched worship in church go from being a traditional pick up the hymnal, that's the way it's going to be, hellfire and brimstone sermon, that's the way it was going to be, to being a feel-good message and warm uplifting songs. We went from traditional to more of a contemporary. And that contemporary works in a lot of places, but a lot of places it's backed off and become kind of a blended type thing. But all things remain true. We still worship the same God, no matter what it is. Now, sadly, we have this thing where we sometimes have pastor worship, where people go to a church because that pastor's there, and that pastor's not there. They went somewhere else, so we're going to follow that pastor. Or they've got this program. They have the world's greatest children's program ever. So we're going to go there. And when that program stops, we stop going there. We have to realize in our lives that no matter what ministry is happening, it's all God's ministry. It's all God's ministry. Now, we all serve on committees. How many here serve on a committee? As you serve on those committees, don't you realize that you've been called to serve in that capacity on that committee? Now, Tracy, she's been upset all week because she knew that she had to stand up here before you guys and give news to a lot of you that you didn't want to hear. She also knew she's going to stand up here in front of you, a lot of you, and give you news that you wanted to hear. Anyway, it goes, she had to go through that anxiety, and she had to go through it alone, just with me. We were the only two that could really talk about it. And that anxiety was there. But we had to realize this scripture this morning, that God has the plan. Now, Methodist pastors, we realized that a long time ago in the start of our ministry, because they stressed that to you. We have this thing called an itinerant ministry where we are called by God but appointed by the bishop. Called by God, appointed by the bishop, and when the bishop says, I'm going to move you, you say, okay. Because God's calling you to serve somewhere else. God's called each one of you to serve in an area. And throughout ministry, I've realized a thing that really surprises me, and I'm kind of not even going to use this because I've quit preaching this sermon a long time ago. God called each one of us to serve. He called me early on in my life to serve as a youth minister and as a trustee chairman and as a PPRC chairman. Try being a PPRC chairman whenever you have a pastor stand up there and tell your wife she's terrible. She can't play the piano. She can't sing as well as I can. And you have to stand there and look at him and realize the entire time, God called this person into ministry. You look at each one of the committees that all of you serve on and the positions that you fill in a church as teachers, as Sunday school leaders, whatever it is. When you get mad and you quit that committee because you're mad at a person, you're not quitting on me, you're quitting on God. You quit on the plan that he laid on your heart. Now, I swore up and down this morning that I wasn't going to preach a hellfire and brimstone sermon because, well, my wife told me, don't do that. Well, I don't ever listen. She knows that. I allow God to speak through my heart. God's telling Alpha United Methodist Church, it's time to wake up. There's a new plan in place. He's sending in a new pastor to pastor you. A new shepherd to lay in front of the gate so the sheep can't get out. And the wolves can't get in. That new pastor is going to need all the love that you have to give them. Because I'm going to tell you, he's coming from a horrible situation. A horrible situation. And he needs the love that you can provide to him. Where you can step out of the box a little bit and quit thinking about yourself and how's this affecting me and think about how is it affecting the church. God's plan. We can't change God's plan. No way, shape, or form are we ever going to change what God has told us to do. We have to realize that when God calls us, he calls us to serve as his people. Israel had to find out by 40 years in the desert. And then when God came to them, he said, I've got a new plan for you. A new opportunity, something exciting, something that will bless you, something that you can rejoice from. And what did they say? I don't know if I want to do that or not. Read the text. All the way through, the people of Israel denounced what God wanted them to do. They still do it today. And he still loves them today. He still blesses them today. And he's still working his plan today because he's never changed. Marv shared a story with me a little. Marv's back here. Shared a story with me about an article him and I both read at two separate dentist offices about a skull that had been found that was dated over, was it 9,000 years, right, Mar? 9,000 years ago, man walked this earth. And you can look at that. And they found him in, it was upstate Washington, right? Idaho area, that area there. They found this skull. They found this skeleton. And they found out where he'd been pierced in the thigh with a stone spear. So we can date that man was here long before Christ was even here. And we can date the world back so far because my son, who works in coal mines, can walk along there and chip off the ceiling and take it to a geologist and hand it to the geologist. And he goes, it's 1,000,005 years old. It was a tree that was 100 feet around. The world was here long before any of us. And God continues to work that plan. His plan's never changed. We have, but he hasn't. We need to embrace the change and allow the plan of God to be part of our lives, dictating to us what we need to do, not what I want to do, not what the committee chair wants to do, not what the bishop wants to do, the cabinet wants to do, the Sunday school teacher wants to do, the trustees want to do. We have to realize it's what God wants to do. I read an article not long ago where a church that was really, really struggling and hurting, every Sunday they would stand up and during their prayer time, they would ask that God bless their congregation and bring them people so that their congregation could grow and could flourish. And they'd pray this prayer over and over and over again. And that's what this passage today is about. It's about prayer and praying it repetitively and keep praying and praying and praying and praying. And they would go to the altar rail and they'd just be weeping and gnashing of teeth and they would just cry out, God, send us people. We need people. We need more people, God. Oh, God, our church is dying. We need more people. And then they started getting people in. And they got more people in. And they got an abundance of people. And then they started going to the altar rail and they started praying, saying, God, these aren't the people we wanted. These aren't the people we wanted. It's sad. Because all people, no matter if they're race, gender, sexual orientation, all people should be welcome at this rail and at this table. We all come from varying walks of life. We all do things slightly different. I've been told recently that I have an accent. I didn't realize I had an accent. I thought all of you had an accent. I thought in my life that I had all the answers. And I realized that I didn't have a clue. And it took me 48 years and 11 months to realize I don't have a clue. I have to rely on God. And I need to look at things with fresh eyes. When I received the news that I was leaving, I was sad. I felt a failure. I felt like I let God down. When really, God reminded me that I brought his people to his meal. I brought his people to his word. Maybe I did it with an accent. Maybe I did it with a little slapstick humor. Maybe I did it with some hellfire and brimstone. Maybe I used it with some crazy illustrations. But I still brought the people of God to God. I don't look at my ministry here at Alpha as a failure. I look at it as a success. Because the one thing I did was I always kept God first in the plan. No matter how I did it, God came first. No matter what you thought of me, I still thought about God first. Thinking about God first, we can look at his meal that he's laid out for us. On the night that Jesus gathered the 12 disciples in the upper room, they had this meal. Now we have all this liturgy that we pray each and every time we pray over communion. And we like to think in our minds that this is what happened. But I want to think it's more like what's going on in your minds today. What's the new pastor going to be like? What's going to happen to our church? Are we going to be allowed to have communion like we have communion? Are they going to celebrate communion every month? Are their messages going to be something I can connect with? I think the disciples were thinking these same thoughts. They weren't thinking these words of liturgy that we so elegantly preach out. Today, think about these words and think about how this meal connects you with the new plan. You won't be in the wilderness. You won't be in the desert. You'll be celebrating in the living water, the body and blood of Christ. Please join me in Holy Communion. Realize that you have a plan, Lord, that you called each one of us to be part of that plan. Allow us to be the tools that you need to work throughout your kingdom. In your Son's holy and precious name, I pray. Amen.